Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 293, recorded on April 8th, 2016. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And, hey, it's awesome to be here. Sweet. It's always awesome, because you're here.
Yay. I am here. And Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
Good. Friday.
Oh, it is Friday. I think you're the one who told me about that video, too.
God.
I think you were like, have you seen this thing? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I think I saw it. I went into an Apple store in Chicago, and I pulled it up on an iPad. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
I saw her on a more recent video where she was talking about basically how mean people can be on the internet. Like how people can process that.
That's interesting. Yeah. I also remember her friend, what is it? Dancing girl in car or whatever.
Yes.
She had a lot better reception, a much better reception internet wide. I wouldn't say she became more internet famous, but more respected, I guess, than Rebecca Black.
Was Rebecca Black ever respected?
No. So I guess there wasn't very far to go.
But she did gain fame. So
this is true.
There's that.
This is true.
Okay. The internet is mean.
Yeah.
The internet is really mean.
But there are dank memes, so.
What's going on this week?
Apple may be providing a way for us to hide apps we don't like, the stock apps.
So I'll be able to do away with my Rurapenthe folder.
And my Siberia folder.
I just have one folder. It's that's at the end of all my lists, and mm-hmm. there they all are. But mm-hmm. I never see them. They're already kind of hidden.
Yeah, it's not something that bothers me. And I like all the headlines that say that Apple may be finally fixing the most annoying thing about the iPhone.
That is not the most annoying thing about the iPhone.
No, it's not that. It's not that annoying. It's just, it's like, oh yeah, that folder, it's over there.
I mean, it is good that, and they should have that, especially since you have it on the Apple TV. I mean, obviously, it's not that hard for them to do. So, why they haven't flipped the bit switch before, I have no idea. But
yeah,
yeah, you know what would make that a feature that I would get excited about? It would be if when you hit an app, say like the Mail app, and you had other mail alternative apps on your iPhone, you could then set one of the others as a default.
That would be a very good feature. That would be much better than the hiding of apps. If you could set defaults for mail and web browsing, the sorts of things that we already have on macOS.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because
a lot of people wonder, and I've wondered the same thing, is, you know, like, have we reached a point that the app ecosystem's big enough where maybe you can still have default apps that are installed out of the box, but just the ability to remove them completely if you don't want them?
That would be cool.
If you don't want mail, can you just delete mail at some point?
Can you delete it from the Mac? I guess you can, technically.
Yeah, you can.
You can delete mail from the Mac, right?
Yeah. Try it right now.
No, nope. See, the thing is I use it. So.
I don't know. Can you, can you delete messages? I think you can delete anything.
Yeah.
You can delete the system if you really wanted to.
Well, right? You'd have to work pretty hard with El Capitan or what are we on? Yeah.
Try this one clever thing.
No,
in terminal.
No.
Oh.
I've done that before. RM-R*.
But I mean, even if they, so, I mean, even if they did still take that same approach though, and just made it really hard to do, I think that would satiate a lot of people who are just like,
those people just need to shut up because it's stupid and pointless.
Well, no, because I'm kind of with you guys though. Like on the mail or the calendar, like I use Fantastical for everything, and I pretty much use Spark as my mail client.
It'd be nice for basically the mail sheet. The only reason I have my mail accounts in the settings at all is because when I hit a button that says send an email, it brings up the built-in iOS mail sheet, and, see, and I, you just can't you can't do that with any other mail app. So I can definitely see. I can see Apple doing what they've done by allowing third-party extensions in Safari and in other apps, potentially opening up a different mail sheet, a mail composing thing.
Yeah, but then they'd also have to rely on the third-party developers of the mail apps to support that. And so what happens then if you delete the built-in if you had the ability to delete built-in mail and then you had a third-party mail client that didn't implement the extension, I guess you just don't have mail as a share option globally. And so
which is why they won't they won't let you delete it. That's not going to happen. They're not going to let you delete mail. They're probably not going to let you delete any of these built-in apps.
You've discovered the reason why for those. But I mean, stocks, come on.
Well, what happens if you need to know a stock quote?
Well,
hey,
and again,
Siri,
that might be a
stock.
Yeah, that might be a Siri thing, right? Because Siri relies on that data. So, hey.
Yeah, I don't. I don't buy that. There's any actual
or the weather data. By the same token, right? You need to have the weather app because if you want to ask Siri, what you know, hey, is it going to rain today?
I don't think that data actually comes from the app. I think there are APIs built in that app just kind of shows. But who cares?
Yeah,
these are just details. We're talking about dual camera lenses. We've been talking about the dual camera lens rumor for a while. And Ming-Chi Kuo believes he confirms at least my fear, which is that we'll only be seeing it on the Plus version.
It doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me either, but I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Me too.
Why does it not surprise you?
Look at the way the camera features have been on the iPhone 6 and 6S.
So is this a technical
6 Plus and 6S Plus?
Is this a technical issue that they're trying to work around, or is it just they want to differentiate?
It's a differentiating factor.
Okay, so that's
It's probably also a pricing factor as
perhaps,
well.
Perhaps, yeah, that's probably right. Because it's $100 more for the bigger screen, right?
Right.
So they've got more padding to work with that way. So I guess that makes sense. So there's a real reason for it. And
there's
usually
eventually a trickle down that'll happen.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if the 7 gets like optical zoom and then the 7 Plus gets the dual cameras, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm not an S person, so.
No, but that's what I'm saying is eventually the dual lens will trickle down in one or two generations. And
you guys are S guys, right? Or do you just, you get every one now?
Oh, I'm every one.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, you've got problems. But that's cool. I understand. Yeah, so potential actual zoom, better quality photos, better stabilization, all those sorts of things come with.
So pretty much expect everything we've had on every release for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Which is what analysts in Wall Street and everybody's freaking out over.
Yeah. Freaking out in a good way?
No, in a bad way.
Well, how's that?
No iPhone innovation. Nothing changes.
All
these
up.
Are iterations.
Who cares? God, people. Go get a hobby.
Yep.
Yeah.
Apple's like doing things, at least they're doing things, and you're just sitting there looking at Apple and saying, oh, you got to do better.
Now, I don't follow what the analysts say very closely about like Samsung.
You're better for it.
Oh, I'm aware of that. However, I'm curious, do analysts bag on Samsung and say, oh, they're not innovating because...
They know that they have to wait for Apple to innovate so that they can copy it, which is why they're also upset because now there's nothing for anybody else to copy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So Apple doesn't do something new. That means we don't get new features on smartphones from their competitors.
From anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any sort, if you were to overlay Samsung and Apple stock, I wonder if there's any correlation there.
I don't think so.
No.
No. No. I mean, it's a weird thing, you know. I think what they're reacting to is a general lack of innovation in the smartphone sector altogether. But what is there left to innovate? You know, I think it was the Macalope was like, oh, you're not making an octagon phone or a round phone or like something really stupid. Like, do you want them to just innovate for the sake of innovation? Like, we're going to have a sphere phone. It's shaped like a softball.
You know, what they really need to do is start removing features. Start saying, okay, we're going to be your nanny. You people are spending too much time on Instagram. We're going to make it so that your phone just shuts off if you use too much Instagram. It's just going to be a timeout.
If you do duck face selfies, the front facing camera stops working.
Yeah. Yeah. You get 24 hours off if it detects any duck face. I like that.
Right.
Nanny phone. Let's see.
So maybe dual lens will be enough of an innovation, but probably not.
Yeah, I don't care. Better battery life would be nice, but I don't think it's just going to happen. But
really, better?
You know, I had
on your phone.
I had a weird experience a couple days ago. My phone. It was probably toward the end of the day. I had been working all day inside, and I needed to get out of the house and go for a walk, and my phone was probably, I don't have the percentage indicator on because I'm not insane, but it was probably like, I don't know, maybe a little less than half down, maybe a little bit more than half down. And I decided to go for a walk, and maybe 20 minutes later, I pull out my phone to look at something, and I see that suddenly it's telling me, hey, you're at 15%. Would you like to go into low power mode? And I thought that was weird because I never see that. So I pressed okay and kind of went along my business. And when I got home, I plugged it in, and suddenly as soon as I plugged it in, it said I had like 35%.
Yeah.
What the hell is with that?
I've seen that before.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
It just gets confused about what's going on. And
I don't know what causes it, but
weird.
It's not unusual.
Yeah.
I just tend to ignore it.
Huh. Okay. Apple.
Sort of like the battery percentage. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Turn off battery percentage. I don't have it on for my phone. I don't look at it on my watch. It's too obsessive. And have you guys noticed, we're going to talk about Apple Watch in a second. Have you people noticed that Some people will use the analog watch face on their Apple Watch, and then as one of the complications, will put the digital time.
Sure.
What kind really? Of insanity is that?
There's a lot of analog watches that have that as a built-in feature. I mean, that's a common.
That's such a dumb feature. They show you the time twice because you're basically a poser.
Well, no.
Because you want to look like you can.
I imagine a scenario where you have points in the day where you just want a general sense of the time, right? So you quick glance at the analog watch. It's like, oh, it's 3, you know, close to 3:15 or close to 3:30 or whatever it might be. And there might be other times where you want to know exactly what time it is. And sometimes with an analog face, depending upon if you have the tick marks around the outside or not, it can be somewhat difficult. Maybe you don't want to take the time to count tick marks, right?
I mean, I think that typically the human brain is good enough to figure out that there are only, what, 3-4 tick marks between? It's pretty easy to just kind of glance. I don't know. My argument is...
Again, it depends on, you know, how complex your watch is and things like that.
I guess. It irks me. I think you're just trying to pretend like you know how to read an analog clock, but you don't.
I really think it's more about just a convenience thing.
I feel like
I want to know the exact time to the minute, and other times, hey, it's
well. It's about I'll say that is the most reasonable explanation I've ever heard. But I think that if you can't read an analog clock, just either practice or don't use it because it's stupid. And the other thing is, how is it that you're wasting an entire complication spot for that? I feel like I don't have enough.
You do?
I don't even use all my complication spots.
Yeah, I would prefer four. I like the analog, but I sometimes I just don't have enough spots for complications, so I'll switch over to the digital.
Five. So.
Well, yeah, because you're using the digital, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I have three.
Okay.
And I really could get away without one of them. Honestly, I have the activity complication turned on, and I'm not monitoring my activity at all. Because I'm a slug.
Yeah.
Because I sit at this desk all day long.
I like to know how much of a slug that I'm being.
But you will actually get up and do something about it.
I just
look at it and it goes, you haven't moved at all today. And I go, oh, yeah, it's true. I haven't moved.
It's true. we'll be here tomorrow at the same spot. Speaking of Apple Watch, Brian White of the Wall Street Journal, Wall Street firm Drexel Hamilton, he believes that the Apple Watch will be debuting in the next one, WWDC in June, 40% thinner, up to 40% thinner, which sounds wafer thin.
What do they do about the digital crown?
Would it boot it? I mean, I think that
you're going to get smaller.
You've got the bump from the heart rate sensor. You can probably lose a lot from that.
Yeah, but at a certain point, the digital crown is going to be sitting on your wrist.
Well, we'll see. He said up to, and he probably doesn't know what he's talking about anyway. The real takeaway here is it'll probably be thinner, and by how much, who really knows? And we'll probably be seeing do you guys think we'll see a new one in June? WWDC? No?
How about we not have thinner and we have like double the battery life?
Yeah, keep it the same thickness. Give me more battery life. So, and I think it's coming in the fall. But I think that we will get a preview of watchOS 3. At WWDC.
That would be cool.
No, I mean, I understand the thinner because it's about fashion, and it is a fashion accessory.
It is pretty big for what it's worth. What I would be very pleased to see that Apple maintains the same geometries so that current watch bands continue to work.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I would think that. I think they're going to keep the 42 and 38 millimeter sizes so that, you know, that essentially decides the width, right? So,
and considering how many band options we have now just from Apple, that
11,000 combinations, according to iMore.
Oh, man. Yeah. My guess is that even if the watch is thinner, the bands that we currently have will still work.
That'd be nice. I would enjoy that.
Yeah, and I really like my band.
I'm ready for a new watch. I would prefer that they do a new watch a couple months before or, you know, maybe after the next iPhone, because I don't want to drop a huge load of cash.
I'm not accepting anything other than sapphire glass this time around.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I've destroyed the glass online.
You say that you're a slug.
Huge gouges.
You're a slug, and yet you've done something.
He's an aggressive slug.
Okay. Well, I do get out of the house, and I do work in the yard on the weekends and stuff, and I bang it into stuff, and it's got, you know.
I've banged my watch plenty of times, and concrete blocks
at some point.
Yeah, that's nuts. I don't have any scratches on mine, so maybe I'm just lucky. And Apple seems to be patenting modular bands for the smart bands for the Apple Watch so that you can take advantage of the connectors, the little ports on the watch, and do stuff like external monitors or speakers or power or something. So there's a patent out there for Apple to do something, but who knows if it's actually gonna.
So you could turn your Apple Watch into a tricorder.
Yes.
You're talking about the secret port?
Yeah, the secret port.
under the band.
Yeah. I was actually in the Apple store the other day, trying on some new bands, and the guy who was helping me had no idea that the thing existed. Like, I had just enlightened him that there's a thing there.
Did you try any of the new nylon?
Yeah, I did.
Bands?
Yeah, they're nice.
How did the lugs work? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're plastic.
Sebastian Page over at iDownload blog wrote a piece where he had ordered three of them and two of them didn't like click in, and he was complaining about that they were kind of cheap. They felt like cheap plastic.
They are. Yes.
The lugs.
They are. They are plastic.
He had two of them that just literally didn't click in at all. You'd slide them in and they just slid right through. They wouldn't lock in place.
Well.
So hopefully it was. And his theory was hopefully it's just, you know, like early manufacturing. I got a bad batch kind of thing. So you're saying the ones that you tried. And I've talked to a couple other people about this and they said, yeah, no, it's been fine. So.
Yeah, the ones I tried were fine.
Sounds like it's a fluke.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the quality, though? I mean, do they actually feel cheap, or it's just that they're plastic and they're good quality plastic?
The nylon part felt high quality. The plastic part looked cheap and kind of felt cheap.
Yeah, why wouldn't they use metal ones?
I think because it's just too expensive for them to use the metal ones.
Seriously? When I'm paying $50 for a nylon strap, you're going to tell me it's too expensive for
it's too expensive according to Apple,
which probably cost them 50 cents or a quarter.
And I'm worried that those plastic lugs are going to break.
Well, yeah, don't know.
I don't know. I'm a little peeved because Apple's already charging a premium price for their watch bands, in my opinion. And
they are the thing is they are premium. They have a premium quality to them for sure.
Other than the plug that they put on there, right?
I've tried other watch bands, and there's just nothing like putting on the fluoroelastomer band. It just feels so much better than anything else.
And again, to be fair, it's plastic, but it's integrated in the material, and that material is still a high quality material. And when you slide it out and you sort of, you know, press on the lug or, you know, even inspect it, it still feels high quality. It's got the little metal part underneath it. You know, that the lock-in part is still a little piece of metal. Is it that way with the nylon band?
No, it's plastic.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, it's all plastic. I think.
I think that's a bad business choice.
I might be wrong on that, actually, in the fluoroelastomer, there's a metal thingy.
It might have to be metal because I think it gets pulled down by a magnet, doesn't it?
No, it's just springs.
Spring loaded?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
And I would worry about that. Yeah, like Jeff, I'd worry about that kind of breaking or not lasting, but I'm sure Apple tested that. Anyway, I was disappointed to hear that. It surprised me that they used plastic lugs and not metal ones.
Yeah. More betas. We have more betas coming out. iOS 9.3.2, primarily just bug fixes. There's a fix to quick actions working more smoothly in landscape mode. Besides that, bug fixes and watchOS 2.2.1 and tvOS 9.2.1 also have been seeded and, really, bug no fixes. Features, bug fixes. So, and there was
that's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. So, moving on, security flaw. There's a security flaw, or was, in that allowed access to iPhone photos and contacts via Siri. You know, another one of those videos where you see someone do like 10 obscure steps to. Yep. To get access to stuff that you shouldn't normally get access to. So it allows you basically get access to a contact sheet, right?
You can get access to the whole contacts, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all your photos.
Through that, you get access to photos.
Right.
Which, okay, so they've fixed it server side by just telling Siri that it's not cool for her to let people do that.
Yeah, so I think the way it worked was you had to search, you had to have Siri search Twitter for a Twitter message that would have an email address in it. And then that email was a hyperlink.
Oh.
And so when you clicked on that email, it would bring up contacts thinking that you wanted to add that email. Or I think you could, no, it was you had to force touch. So the hack only affected
success
and later. Or six and later, right? Because the six has force touch, or there's only
success.
Okay. So six S and later. So you would activate force touch, which would give you the option, hey, do you want to add this email to your contacts? And when you said yes, then it would bring up the full contacts app, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you could scroll through and find any contact you wanted. And then of course in the contact details, if you tap on the photo, you know, in the edit mode, you can add photos and it would open up the photos. And then you could browse through anybody's photos, all from the lock screen. But here's the thing. Really, the fix is, if you just don't allow Siri from the lock screen, then all of that stuff is protected anyway.
Right.
And, Siri from the lock screen does expose a ton of data. Like, if you use, for example, any of the contacts information like, you know, relationships of people in your family, you can ask Siri, you know, what's my mom's phone number? And if there's a contact record for your mom in there and it has her phone number, Siri will happily give it up from the lock screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people don't think about this stuff.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
It's not a huge deal, though. Who cares has your mom's phone number?
Or what's my phone number or what's my address is one that you might be concerned about,
address.
Right?
Well,
you're out, someone steals your phone, right? They can ask Siri, hey, what's my address? And they know, guess what? They've just stolen your phone. You're probably going to call the police and maybe go down to the police station, file a report, do a bunch of other stuff. You're going to be busy for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they can just ask Siri directions to your house. And she'll make a map and tell you where to turn left and turn right.
And you're not home. Because they know, because they just took your phone because you left it, you know, sitting while you were eating a muffin and went to the bathroom at Starbucks.
Yet never leave your valuables just sitting in the coffee shop because you're running into the restroom. That's a bad idea.
It amazes me how many people do that. I see it all the time. Or they ask someone, hey, will you watch my stuff? And then that person's nowhere near watching this. They're like, yeah. And then they go back
and their face is buried.
Yeah. In their own laptop or back to the conversation with their friend.
Oh, this is interesting. So it looks, so I'm playing with the lost mode.
Mm-hmm.
So if you set your phone to lost mode, it disables Touch ID. It disables Apple Pay. It disables Siri. And it turns on low power mode.
Yep.
That is slick.
Yeah.
So it preserves itself as long as possible so that you can track the thing. It doesn't let people pay, you know, if they have some kind of, I have no idea how they would do that. You'd have to have your fingerprint, but then you can also, it doesn't work with Touch ID. It nukes those and Siri can't take them to your house.
Yeah, but you have to enable that mode.
You just go to iCloud.com, click on Find My Phone, click your little telephone icon, but again, and then click on lost mode.
So the guy that you asked to watch your phone while you ran into the restroom and didn't, now you commandeer his laptop so that you can put your iPhone in lost mode.
Mm-hmm. There you go. But, you know, again, same thing with, like, notifications and control center. I mean, there is kind of certain bits of personal information that if you allow those things from the lock screen along with Siri, there is a bit of information that is exposed. And that's just a risk that some people are going to take. And so I found it very interesting that, you know, like this exploit was basically enabled only by people who, you know, chose to have the option that, hey, there is some data that is exposed. But, and now that Apple's locked it down, now the bummer is I don't think you can search Twitter from an unlocked phone via Siri.
I think you can.
From an unlocked phone?
Or from a locked phone, sorry, rather, is what I meant. Right? Isn't that how they fixed it?
No, you need a passcode to go farther than your search. So if you're doing more Like you want to add that to a contact.
Right.
Now you need a passcode.
Excellent. So it is fixed the correct way.
But the thing that is interesting to me is they fixed it. They basically just set a setting on Siri, the server. So why? What's stopping someone from doing a man in the middle attack, where they just you put it on some Wi-Fi network that you know says, hey, this is where Siri is. Go over there, and Siri, the fake Siri, tells them, yeah, it's cool. They can do that thing. So how much
if,
is actually
if they can go to those extremes? They probably already have your iPhone.
I'm just saying it's not necessarily it brings up questions about how much access Siri has and how that access is maintained and regulated by Apple.
Siri has a lot of access to a lot of information that's on your phone. That's what, so the point I was trying to make earlier.
Yeah. I just want to know, I would like to have someone who's really good at security stuff just come on the show and talk about how these security levels work, because it's clear that there are certain services within the phone that have access when you may not have access and vice versa. It's really interesting. One other note that I just wanted to share is if your phone is restarted, the intuition is before you type in your passcode. Oh, crap. I think
I don't know what's going on.
See, I lost you guys.
My power went out for a few seconds.
Oh, okay. So, Adam, you heard me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you the whole time.
So my intuition is that, you know, you can't type in once you reboot the phone, the disk is and Adam's gone. Are you there, Adam?
No, I'm here.
Oh, your little thing
Jeff's
just
gone.
We lost Adam.
I think Jeff's trying to get back in.
That was weird.
Weird. Adam, you're not here?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like you're here. That's so weird. But you guys can both hear each other, right?
I can't hear Jeff.
I hear just you.
Weird. Okay, let me end it. I'll switch it. Blah, diddy, blah, 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 blah.
But Michael, you can hear us both?
No. Yes, I can hear you both. Okay, I'm on two different calls at the same time.
Maybe that's what it is, because it looks to me like I'm on a individual call with you, Michael.
On. Okay, hang on. Let's end this and quit Skype. This is what I get for updating Skype. Very interesting. Fair. Oh, boy. And we should have them back. Are they back?
That was the weirdest freaking thing.
That was such a weird bug. Yeah, I had two different calls going on at the same time, but I couldn't end either of them because they weren't like there.
That was weird.
Anyway,
and my power went out.
So what I was saying is my intuition is when you reboot the phone, the disk is encrypted, the user partition is encrypted, so you. Siri shouldn't have access to anything because she hasn't been given access by your passcode. And that is indeed the case. So when you reboot, Siri can't do anything for you until you type in the passcode for the first time. And then she has access to doing all the standard stuff.
Yeah. And my point is like, if you are really concerned about security of the information that's on your phone, you probably should not allow Siri from the lock screen. Like if you're really that concerned about that kind of data, your contact data or even your photos. I've never tried searching I don't think she can bring up your own photos from the lock screen. She can bring up like Google Photos or Bing Photos or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But she certainly can bring up contact records. I think if you knew the name of a person, she could bring that up. I don't know if it'll do a general. I've never tried doing a general search for contacts. Like if I just said Dave or John, she might even say,
Adam's
which John did you mean? Do you mean John so and so or John so and so? Right?
You'll need to unlock your iPhone first.
Yeah. Where is Adam?
we'll have to do some experimenting. But
yeah,
I think this is different.
If you're really concerned about the security of the data on your device, you probably don't want to have notifications on the lock screen, and you probably don't want to have Siri accessible from the lock screen. Because
they've actually changed. They've changed some stuff. They've changed it because I used to be able to do find my friends' searches via Yo Siri in the car, really? And it would just show me. And now it says you need to unlock your iPhone first. So I think they've made some changes server side, in that regard as well.
You know, they probably when they decided to do the password lockdown the other day, they looked at a lot of the services and were like, you know what, just turn it on for everything.
And it's one of those things, it's not such a big deal. And if you're doing something where you're like, hey, show me so-and-so's contact information or show me where they are, it's in front of you. You can put your thumb on the reader. So,
right.
Well, again, it depends on your
paranoia.
No, well, I was going to say more, you have to make that choice about convenience versus privacy, right?
Yep.
So for me, I like having access to Siri because I use it in the car a lot and I don't want to have to reach over and put my thumb on it to send a text message to someone or to make a phone call or whatever. I want to be able to just say and not have Siri, you know, pop up in the middle. So I'm making that conscious choice, but I fully recognize too at the same time, someone who stole my phone could say, hey, text my wife, and it's going to, you know, they can send whatever message they want to my wife as me, right?
Cool.
Right.
That sounds awesome. I want to do that. So moving on
to... you can do it right now. Just say, hey, Siri, text my wife.
You guys are really inconsiderate.
I'll meet you at the hotel in 30 minutes.
I'll meet you at the secret hotel.
Great.
And now there's people scrambling to stop Siri from sending messages.
Yeah, because right. You guys are you guys are the ones with the six S's. You know that Yo Siri can be activated at any time. But so FBI, it's funny. They put out a statement to the Wall Street Journal saying that it's just too early to tell if the information in the iPhone is valuable.
Did you see the piece that I wrote about that, Michael?
No, but I would like you to summarize it for me, please.
Are we doing family friendly or adult description?
Let's just get it.
All right, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal. And I was very very generous with the time that I gave for the FBI to work with this. So let's assume that the iPhone was not accessible to the FBI, or the contents of the iPhone was accessible to the FBI at all until the day that they said, hey, we actually did get into the phone. So that was on a Monday a week ago. And realistically, it takes about a day to go through a phone like that and forensically and find anything that's going to be a potential lead. And then at that point, you move forward with that information and continue your investigation. So let's say that they, for whatever reason, are just really slow. So it took them 3 days. So I'm tripling their time. And giving them the benefit of the doubt and assuming that they didn't really have access to the phone until the day that they said they did. So that means that they would be last Wednesday when they would have finished going through the phone forensically and would know whether or not they have anything to work with. So when the FBI said that it's still too early to tell, they're still going through the iPhone, that was this Wednesday, a full week later. So to assume that the FBI has not been able to get any information or they're still having to sift through everything on the phone with that window of time, we have two options. One, they are intentionally obfuscating what's happening, meaning there's no information on the phone that's of value, and they're saying they're still investigating. Or two, their mobile device forensic team is completely incompetent and incapable of actually looking through the contents of this phone. Option two is not practical or reasonable, because the FBI is going through phones all the time.
Yeah.
So and they have top people. I mean,
they absolutely
they don't have idiots there.
No. They have highly qualified people. So what that means is that when they're saying we're still going through the phone and it's too early to say, that they are giving us a bullshit line.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Could I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, because I don't know. Could they have information and it be sensitive enough that they don't want to let on that they know that they have that information yet, till they maybe hunt down people or track down people?
Sure. But for that, I think they would instead say, we're not ready to talk about this yet.
Fair point.
Yeah, that sounds more reasonable. Let's see here. I guess the FBI has begun briefing a few senators on how it accessed the data on that phone. Let's see. Dianne Feinstein and another senator.
Curious about stuff like that. And I don't know enough about this because I've never gotten into it. But I don't know, Jeff, have you ever had to deal with like freedom of information requests?
I have not. So,
like, could a reporter or somebody put in one of those now that like Feinstein knows, and Feinstein is a senator, you know, for the state of California? I live in California. If I'm a journalist in California, or is all that stuff probably, you know, done under some sort of gag order under the, you know, under national security kind of.
I have a feeling that a lot of that stuff, especially if you're a member of a committee, that you just simply have to be privy to some of that kind of information just as part of your job in order to make informed decisions. And as part of that, there's just information that you have access to that is just, it just has to be classified.
But they're using that information, right, to help shape and draft legislation that's going to go against, you know, go before the public, right?
My guess is that the EFF and ACLU are already working on their Freedom of Information Act requests.
I mean, that stuff will take forever, so, I mean, it doesn't hardly matter, but I'm just kind of curious if that sort of opens up the door or not.
It could, but I'm assuming that the requests would be denied on like grounds of national security or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, right? Because you've now given it to public officials who basically it's, in my mind, they work for us, right? Not for.
Yes, they do work for us.
They do work for us, but they represent us, and I think part of that is that they. They're supposed to represent our interests, but not necessarily tell us.
My interest is to know how they did it.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to represent that one.
Yeah. No
that
kidding.
Interest, they're not going to. Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought about that, and I haven't had time to research it or look into it. But so if someone has and knows.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is so Comey says that the method they use to get access to the stuff would not work on a 5S or later.
Apparently it's hardware too. I did a lot of research on this because there was some ambiguity in a lot of the reporting. But I think I traced the original source back to, I want to say, a New York Times or a Wall Street Journal piece. I'm not remembering for sure. But apparently it sounds like it's a machine that they actually bought, that this company developed.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if there was some sort of hardware software combination used.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it sounds very similar to, it maybe might be a modification or a tweak on the hack that was released for older phones where it would, you know, cut the power before it on the 10th attempt. Before
yeah.
Before it had time to write to the memory.
Actually, it wasn't on the 10th. It was on the first attempt. It would cut the power after every attempt.
After every attempt. So maybe it's a modification of that sort of technique, because I think Apple patched up that hole at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if they found a similar sort of tweaked way of doing it. Or
yeah,
something entirely
possible.
New. It could be they could be leveraging a totally new zero day that no one knows about.
Well, my first thought when I heard this was, I don't buy it. Do you think he's being truthful when he says that it doesn't work on later phones?
Because it probably isn't every. Does the 5C doesn't have the Secure Enclave, right?
Correct.
Right. The Secure Enclave is on iPhones with Touch ID.
Which starts with the 5S.
With the 5S, correct.
So it's probably something that Apple has, whatever the exploit is closed up by the Secure Enclave, would be my guess.
That's what I'm assuming, too.
And it's probably related to the Secure Enclave has its own timeout functionality that is in its own firmware, not the software of iOS.
Right.
So it's probably something related to that. If I were a betting person, I'm going to guess that's where the discrepancy is.
Yeah, possibly. Let's see what else here. Oh, and then, of course, the FBI is going to continue pressing for the court to get Apple to unlock the New York iPhone.
Mm-hmm,
it's a 5S, sure. And it relates to some sort of drug case in New York, right? Drug dealer, mm-hmm. I think.
Right.
And so there's another case going on that's, you know.
There's many other cases going on.
Yeah, there's also the Boston case where most of the documents around the warrant are sealed. So, yeah, there's a lot of cases happening.
Yeah. So the fight's not over, but it seems like we're not going to be having the trial of the century.
Well,
yet
the best news was that whole Feinstein Burr bill not being the president sort of doing a 180 on that.
Yeah, maybe someone.
Yeah, and I'm
him.
Sure. I'm not sure if it's really a 180 or
like
if it's
like a 270.
No, that'd be more.
Yeah, it would be like... Okay,
but you're saying go all the way around and then... Or go,
like a 120?
Turn back around and then come back the other way a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like a 540?
Like a 540, yes. Okay. That's exactly what it's like. Yeah, so it could be that the president and the White House are still saying, yes, we should have the full access to encrypted data, but this is not the way to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so he wants some different legislation.
Well, apparently, in this draft legislation, part of the issue is it's not really fleshed out. It's like real broad terms in terms of like they're not defining what, if, when, how sort of answers. It's just.
Right. And it's in a very early draft stage. So that's not a big surprise.
Yeah. Ooh, WhatsApp. They've enabled full end-to-end encryption for all the media that it can handle. I guess it's had text end-to-end encryption for a while. Is that correct?
On Android.
On Android only.
Right. So now this is full encryption, end-to-end, all platforms.
Nice.
Including the web interface.
Yeah.
This is, I think...
photos and, I think, voice.
Yeah, I think this... this sort of thing is actually one of the best things to happen for Apple and any other technology company that's trying to defend their ability to encrypt when these bills are coming up and these lawsuits are coming up, because it proves the point that they're not going to be stopping encryption by stopping Apple from doing it. It happens everywhere, and it you just can't stop it.
No,
because terrorists will just go to WhatsApp.
Sure.
Or not. They use burner phones.
Burner phones with WhatsApp. or what have you.
They're not even that sophisticated because they don't need to be. That's the irony of all of this is just like they already have techniques that work and are simpler and don't involve technology where they've got to use some specific app that then the government's going to go after. It's just like, you know, we just use burner phones. That's fine. We just SMS on burner phones and throw them away and get a new one every day or every hour.
They can just use carrier pigeons. That's even better. That's even more secure.
Yeah, unless you catch the pigeon. But yes, yeah. Very secure.
Well, who's looking for pigeons? They're just going to shoot it down with a predator drone.
Poor pigeons. They have a rough life. All they're trying to do is carry a message.
That's so sweet of them.
But yeah, I mean, and then the other thing, though, is, I mean, if you're a person who's really worried about security and privacy, you can take control of all of that stuff yourself. I mean, there's Silent Circle, there's Whisper Systems has technologies for all of this stuff. I mean, there's a myriad of existing end-to-end open source encrypted things that, you know, are very easy apps that you can download and install. You buy a service and you can encrypt end-to-end every bit of communication on your phone. You can hold disk encrypt your Mac. You can put things in your own. You can keep all the keys. You don't have to let the providers have the keys, you know. So, and it's getting easier and easier for the average person to do it. It's still a little bit in the nerd cycle, but I mean, that barrier to entry is coming way down.
Yeah.
So really, if that's your thing and what you're worried about, don't even let Apple take control of that for you. Apple's doing a great job of it, but, you know, do it all yourself. You'll be fine. The government won't be able to get anything from you.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't need Apple or Google or whatever to protect us. We can protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the last story that I guess I just want to talk about because I want to talk about it. It's sort of related to Apple because we do talk about the Apple car, right?
Tesla. You're going to bring up that Tesla.
The Model 3. How many did you pre-order, Adam? 7?
0.
0. Yeah, it doesn't sound like you.
Little Model 1.
Into
I'd
it.
Love to have a Tesla. I would die for a Tesla, but
well, you wouldn't be able to drive it then if you died.
I don't. Spend but he could be buried in it. Money okay. on vehicles, even at the quote unquote cheap price.
You get that Subi, right?
Huh?
The Subaru.
I have Subaru, but yeah. I own it.
Yeah.
Outright, mm-hmm. And every car that I buy now, I buy outright.
That's good.
I don't.
That's
cars.
What I do too.
And I can't finance 35K or whatever it would end up being.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the interesting...
Podcasting doesn't bring in that much money, folks. So you're looking for career choices.
Yeah, steer away.
Right. But you can have really fun conversations with really cool people. So mm-hmm. There is that.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love this job. It's the best in the world. But, you know, maybe if you build out a network like Leo...
Yeah, but he's really the only one. Who's
there's the one percenters.
Yeah,
and then there's the rest
of us. He's one of the one percenters, totally. Yeah.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I have great support and I make a good living and I'm very, very happy, but not enough extra cash flying around here to buy Teslas.
Well, it's a cheap Tesla.
That's all I'm saying.
It's half the price. They've sold
you like a Kickstarter.
I probably could afford one if I wanted to take on more debt, but.
More debt.
Yeah.
Sell one of your children.
Exactly.
They got to be worth
really
something.
Interested in the whole debt proposition, and not for a car.
Oh, but it's such a nice car.
It is. They're great.
Goes vroom vroom, but it doesn't go vroom at all.
Tell you what, Michael, you buy one.
Okay.
And then we'll come hang out with you and drive it.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Are they going to fix the dashboard?
You mean by putting an instrument panel there?
Yeah,
they have very explicitly stated that they intend to not have one.
Interesting.
Can I have one that doesn't look like they bolted an iPad Pro just like on a mount in the middle of the thing?
I think that looks really nice. And no.
I think it looks dorky.
So you can't have that one.
I hate that part.
All right. You don't have to drive my Tesla.
Build it in.
Can I come drive your Tesla?
Integrate it. Like, can it be flush? Like, integrated? Like, why does it have to sit like it's floating on a little.
I think it looks
weird. Dock.
I think it looks
but
lovely.
It's not a dock, so you can't pull it out and take it with you.
Why would you want to take it with you? That's where your car brain is.
It looks like an iPad.
You look like an iPad.
No, apparently more people are angry about the trunk.
That's that's what I'm more concerned about than anything else is the trunk design. Yeah.
It's, why? Because it won't fit your bodies?
Well, he says that it will fit a 7-foot surfboard in there.
Oh.
Which I think is...
Meaning a 7-foot human?
So I'm thinking like, yeah, I could technically fit a 7-foot surfboard in my Jetta too, but it's going to be a giant pain in the ass and I might not get it back out once I put it in there.
Well, if you have a hammer or saw, it will come out.
Eventually it'll come out. If there's an emergency and we need to get the jaws of life in there to get my surfboard out, then yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever. It's fine. It's cool.
I don't know. So
I'll just get some roof racks.
What about the bolt?
What about it?
It's cheaper and has the same range, and it's going to be available earlier.
The Volt?
Bolt.
Bolt. B-O-L-T.
Is that a Chevy?
Yes.
What's that about? Tell me more.
It's Chevy's 200-mile range, $30,000 all-electric vehicle.
Hmm.
It'll be ready next year.
Yeah, so it will be out before the Tesla Model 3.
That's it looks dumb. It does have a hatchback, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's got, like, no trunk space. Look at that. I'm going to get the Tesla. The Tesla's going to be fast, too. And you got the superchargers, and you get that sweet iPad mounted in the middle. You got your frunk.
Honestly, if you're
Bolt
in the UK, your fruit.
A little bit in some ways like the BMW E or whatever it is to me, which is a little weird looking car.
It has the ugliest car in the history of cars.
It's really
no, I take that back. That is not the ugliest car. The Aztec is the ugliest.
The Aztec is bad. That's worse than the Gremlin.
Yeah. But and the Tesla is going to have self-driving. It's going to be driverless.
Is it going to have ludicrous?
You could probably get a ludicrous mode. Yeah. Okay. So this is the iOS show. So your Tesla.
It does tie into. I mean, it does tie into. You know, what's Apple going to do? Because everything that we know. I mean, this is a pivotal moment. I think with between the Bolt coming out and what Tesla's just announced, and probably a few other car manufacturers are going to try to start to hit this price range, you know, and I know most people think Apple's going to come out on the top end, but how much top end is going to be left when you've got a bunch of 200 mile range plus, you know, $30,000 cars options that are available? Is there enough compelling stuff that Apple could bring to market? Cause you know, all estimates are 2019, 2020. So Apple's even, you know, 1 or 2 years behind the Tesla 3, at least by current estimates.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that car market look like? And, you know, is Apple's experiment over at this point? And I think it may be. They may need to make the call now to say, you know what, this is not the future for the company.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, do you think it makes sense for them to continue to plow forward?
Apple has plowed forward when they were late to markets before, which is actually pretty much every product.
Right.
And that seems to be working okay for them.
It works very well for them. I would maintain that is their modus operandi, and that they could do that here as well. The only difference that I see is in the past, the markets they entered had products that sucked. As near as I can tell, between the Bolt and the Tesla 3, these aren't going to be products that suck.
Mm.
Like,
they seem
like solid technology and solid products.
Yeah, that does make a difference.
Up to this point, most electric cars sucked that were under, you know, $80,000.
Yeah.
But
I think it could go either way.
Yeah.
And I hate to be wishy-washy on it, but just right now,
they may have to shift their focus on driverless rather than just electric.
Yeah, that's what everybody's going to have to do.
Right, because that could still be a premium market and nobody's really doing anything there. If they can get full autonomous by 2020, they could be one of the first to market, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. So,
The trick is finding places you can drive your driverless cars.
What do you mean? Drive it everywhere.
You can't drive it everywhere.
No, you can't.
You can't drive it in driverless mode everywhere. Now,
again,
we're
talking about 4 years from now.
No, we're just going to do it.
Right.
I'm just going to do it.
All right.
Yeah. Who's going to know? I mean, I'm not going to. I might like have a blankie and a pillow and take a nap, but it'll just tint my windows. So nobody will know.
Just put a mannequin in the driver's seat and then you can take a nap in the passenger
seat. You do know that's illegal in California, right?
To sleep while you're driving?
No, to tint your front windows. People do it anyway, but it is illegal.
Yeah.
You can't have blackout tint on the front driver and passenger windows. In the state of California.
Yeah, it's...
But Michael's a rebel.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just asking for it. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Let's do our picks and get out of here.
All right.
So, Jeff... I hear you have one.
I do have one. My pick, and I know it's been a pick before, but it's a new pick because of updates, and it's the Sphero BB-8.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
There was a software update that came out at the beginning of the week that adds in watching mode. And so now you can have your BB-8 watch The Force Awakens with you. And BB-8 will react to the movie as it's playing. So you put your little BB-8 in a charger, in its charger base, and then you set it so that he's like somewhere, or she, whatever gender you want your BB-8 to be, set it so that it's in front of the television where it can watch, with air quotes. And then as the movie plays, BB-8 gets excited or scared or sad. And moves its little head around, and it's actually fun.
Have you done it? I haven't done it yet.
Yes, I only did it for a few minutes, I was actually watching BB-8 and not the movie because it was a lot like having a little kid with you while you're watching the movie. So they actually did it really well with the way it reacts.
So is it just a microphone-based reaction?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you use
the
mic on your iPhone, I would assume.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it does. So keep that in mind. If you have an iPod Touch, this feature does not work because there's not a microphone built in to the iPod Touch.
There's not?
No.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah,
does its head explode when it sees itself on the screen?
It does get excited.
Okay. All right. So, Adam, what's your pick this week?
Because I ended up having to do my taxes this week.
Yeah. Is it your CPA?
No. You know what? I was going to do a Mac pick, but this is the iOS show. I can't do that now. I was going to pick my ScanSnap, which I love, because I do paperless on everything.
The heck is ScanSnap?
Doesn't ScanSnap have an option where when it scans,
it can
send to an iPhone app?
Yeah, they do have an iPhone app. I don't really use that feature.
Well, I just saved your pick on a technicality.
Yeah. So anyway.
What is it?
Going paperless. It's the Fujitsu ScanSnap. Scanner.
Which one?
I have the 300. It's really any of them because they're all awesome. I particularly have an older one. It's the S300M. I think there's now an S300i or IX300 or I don't know what the current
S1100, S1300.
The S, you know what? So it's the S series, and it would be probably the SI1300 or S1300i, the portable one,
yeah,
is the one that I have. There's also the S1100i, which is really, really portable.
That looks fun. Get that one.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Bluetooth and can go direct to an iOS device yet or not.
Well, it looks cool. Get that one.
Yeah. So but you certainly can. You certainly can scan to Evernote. You can scan to Dropbox. So then if you have Dropbox sync on your iOS device, you can, of course, have all access to all your documents. Now, in my case, I scan everything into another great app called Paperless. But again, it's a Mac app. And I do that all to a secured, encrypted disk image because I don't want that stuff in the cloud, because typically I'm scanning in tax documents and legal documents and all that sort of fun stuff.
Cool.
But all right. Great scanners and things for going paperless. Features like you can scan to Word documents and Excel documents, searchable PDFs. So, yeah, if you want to have access to all your, you know, documents and put them into Evernote and then bring up Evernote on your iOS device, you can do that. And ScanSnap's a super great way. I mean, it's basically auto feed scanner, full duplex. It corrects for angles automatically. So if the paper goes in sideways, if you're doing receipts and business cards and all that stuff.
Cool. All right, so the ScanSnap.
And stamp from Fujitsu.
So my pick. So I'll do that too. I'll go with the scanner app. So my pick of choice for scanning on an iPhone is Scanner Pro by Riedel.
That's a great one too.
Ooh, it's so good.
That is nice.
I know a lot of people who also have scanning apps on their phones. This one just kicks everyone else's to the curb. It's this one's great. There are a bunch of little tweaky features. So you can do color document, you can do color photo, you can do grayscale photo. But my favorite is the black and white document setting. Yep. So it means that everything is either black or it's white. If it's not black, then it's white. So it makes really awesome scans. It looks like you just scanned it with a flatbed and it comes out perfect every time.
Does anybody scan with flatbed anymore? I don't think so.
I think some people do. And then there's it has automatic, document edge finding and automatic, like scanning as well. So you basically just, you start up a new document and you hold it at the, you point it at the document, and when it sees it, it takes the picture and says, okay, next one please, and then you turn the page and just kind of keep scanning and scanning and scanning, and it works really well. And there are a bunch of different things that you can do with it afterward. Of course, it makes an entire single document PDF, multi-page, all that good stuff. And I typically will do an AirDrop to my Mac afterwards to do whatever else. I think it has, does it have OCR these days?
Yep.
Yeah, so you can do OCR. I used it to send some tax forms as well. So, you know, my 1099 thingies, just sent that to my person who's doing it for me.
Did you encrypt it?
Nah. Who cares? I don't care. Someone will see that I don't make any money.
Has your social security number on it.
That's already out, so whatever.
Yeah, I use it all the time. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. I hope you're enjoying the crappy credit score.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's fun. Maybe that's the that's who's been doing it. Maybe it's your fault.
That would actually.
I can be like, yeah, it's not my fault that I have a crappy credit score. It's Jeff's problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's what did I say? Scanner Pro?
Pro 7.
Scanner, right? Pro, wow, 7 already. By Riedel. What is it? How much does it cost?
$3.99.
Oh, bargain. Get it. It's the best scanning app. There are plenty of them out there. I've played with a lot of them. This one works all the time. It's bueno. So with that, you can find
it offers in-app purchases. Oh, fax if you want to do faxing.
Oh,
who does faxing?
Yeah, who does faxing?
I don't know. But someone
if
who
you
sucks. Want,
if you needed to, actually, their prices are a lot. Let me see what it says. A lot cheaper than going to Kinko's. I'll just tell you that those guys charge an arm and a leg, or FedEx Kinko's, I guess it is now, or FedEx,
whatever.
Just FedEx
Kinko's. Whatever. I know.
Whoever bought old school people are going Kinko's.
Yeah, the office place formerly known as Kinko's.
I hang out at Kinko's.
Is it still called that?
No.
Anyway, you know they charge you like $11 to send one page. I don't know what it is.
That's insane. Bucks.
No, I'm making that price up, but I mean it's like that. It feels like that. It's
the
like
sad thing is expensive. I believed you because they charge you too
right.
much for stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you can find all the picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Of course, review the show on iTunes and leave a rating. Tell a friend. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send your questions, comments, feedback, all that stuff. And of course, advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the Maccast, maccast.com, at Maccast on Twitter. And thanks for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks.
We just kind of forced you into doing it at this time.
Yeah, but on me off guard, but we made it through.
Yeah, and Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer every day, TMO Daily Observations, and at J Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.